Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio knows a thing or two about the Chicago hot dog, or learned a little bit about it. Monica, how much did you know about the Chicago hot dog before you did this story?
Well, I'm a lifelong Chicagoan, so I knew, you know, what goes on to it, but I had no idea about sort of the intricate backstory of every ingredient.
I not to sort of, you know, when Monica, of course, works for the public media, the radio station in town, and she also works for the Chicago Tribune, she has a podcast, Chewing. You know, I'm fascinated, and like I said, I want to show too much how the sausage is made, but you sent me 2 pages.
Yes. I wanted to
like
make sure
you wrote
prepared.
It out. Like you're like, this is what a Chicago hot dog is. This is what you need to know. And I was like, who are you talking to? You don't think I know what, I mean, drag through the garden. I know everything about the Chicago hot dog. I've won a couple of James Beards here. I understand.
Yeah. You always remind me of that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So talk about what this was a Curious City question. And this was about where did the Chicago hot dog and the ingredients that are involved in the Chicago hot dog come from?
Yeah, and so we had several people asking it, and I said, you know what? It's about time we answer this question. I went to the preeminent hot dog historian in the United States, Bruce Craig. He's an emeritus professor at Roosevelt University. He's written Hot Dog, A Global History. He's written Man Bites Dog. Mm-hmm. And we sat down, and we dissected this. So you're not going to tell them, so I'll tell them. Here are the 7, and don't feel dumb if you don't know it, because Justin thinks...
I know it.
Thinks,
I didn't even read your document.
All right. Quiz. Okay. What are the 7 ingredients?
So do you include the bun and the wiener?
No, because 7 things on top of that.
On top of that,
okay. What kind of wiener?
Let's
what
go
kind
sell,
of bun?
Okay, so the wiener is the Vienna beef. Well, I don't know what you call it, but the...
Hot dog, Frankfurter, whatever.
Okay, and the bun is a poppy seed. We got that.
That's steamed easy. Poppy seed.
All right. Yeah, here we go. Okay, I feel like this is a celery salt's got to be in there.
That's
chopped
right.
Onion's got to be in there. The green relish has got to be in there. The spear, the pickle, the big tomato, mustard, and the jalapeno peppers.
Spore peppers.
Sorry, I screwed that up. If this was, they would give me a 0 on Family Feud if on the lightning round.
That was very good. And what is never on there, according to Chicago?
Ketchup, right? Yeah.
Okay.
People don't know that. This is, I guess, the point, Monica. You've been covering food in Chicago for a long time.
Yeah.
I feel like the Chicago hot dog or the ingredients that go into it is something that, you know, you have to put your hand on the Bible and then recite the 7 ingredients
that are
on top of a Chicago hot dog, drag through the garden.
Yeah, otherwise you're not a Chicago.
But you found out that a lot of people are not familiar with this.
No, a lot of people that I work with who've been in Chicago for a long time did not know that these 7 ingredients are sort of mandatory. And not only did they not know that, but they didn't know the history behind them. And it's a really fascinating history. About 100 years ago on Maxwell Street, you had a lot of, first we had German immigrants come here, and then they dominated the sausage trade. But then a lot of Eastern European Jewish immigrants came here, and they said, you know, how about if we make this not a pork and beef wiener, but an all beef? And the United States, Chicago happened to be the beef capital of the country.
Right,
80% of all beef in the nation was processed right here in 1910. So we had a ton of beef. We had a ton of sausage makers, all beef wiener. But how did the...
Yeah, how'd you get all 7 of these ingredients?
Okay, mustard. That comes from both the English and especially the German immigrants here. Onions, that's pan-European. So you could go Greek, you could go Mexican, you can go
A lot of influences,
German.
Right?
The relish was a cousin of piccalilli, which is a sort of actually an Indian pickle from India that came to England, that came to the United States through British immigrants, and then we made it sweet because it would have been a little sort of salty, but here we decided to put some sugar in it. And in Chicago, it's got to be neon green.
Right. Where does the neon green come from? Is that just
Blue dye number 4 that Vienna puts in it.
Okay. All right.
And then you've got the celery salt. Mm-hmm. That is the one mystery. Nobody's quite sure why that came on. The German sausage makers like to use it as a seasoning. And the nitrate in there is something you would normally find in sausage. So there is natural nitrate in there. But do you know what the celery capital of the United States was around the time that this hot dog was happening?
Chi-town?
Lakeview. Lakeview was a huge celery farm.
So maybe there's something there. Maybe
Wrigley Field, something like that. You know, Lakeview.
It was interesting because we had King Mo, the MMA fighter, was in here at 8 o'clock and he had his crew in. And one of the publicists was talking about, I said, later we're talking about the Chicago hot dog. And she said she was from New York. And she was like, she was caught up in thinking the Chicago hot dog had to do specifically with the hot dog. I mean, the actual meat.
Exactly. That's what somebody said. That's the thing. The hot dog is a
People don't recognize, because when I went through, these are the, it's really about the toppings. Mm-hmm. It's about sort of how much vegetation is on the hot dog when it's done is what makes it a Chicago hot dog. So it's interesting that she also had the misconception.
Yeah. So we can't all assume that everybody knows, okay, we haven't gotten to the sport peppers. Sport peppers came during the Columbian Exposition when a whole bunch of Mexican tamale vendors came to Chicago. People got this taste for spicy Mexican peppers, and then what do you know?
Right.
We suddenly have all these pickled sports peppers, which actually come from McElhaney Island, or Avery Island, the McElhaney Company, same as Tabasco.
It's amazing to me, if you think about how the hot dog is concocted and everything that goes into it, that it really does reflect the Chicago sort of melting pot idea that there's so many different people and ethnicities here that make this city. The hot dog, surprisingly, when you think about it, it reflects that.
It totally does. And these were a lot of the folks who were hanging around Maxwell Street around the turn of the century. And finally, tomato was the Greek and Italian greengrocers who were also right there in that Maxwell Street area. And they thought, you know what, let's have some added value. We've got these fresh tomatoes. Let's put it on there. Finally, the pickle, Eastern European.
Yeah, I was going to say, that might be a lot of where the tradition comes from, Maxwell Street, because there were so many vegetable vendors down there and the idea of so many different ethnicities represented at that time. Monica Ang, you can find the story. I think it's online at WBEZ.org, yep. Curious City. Mm-hmm. And also, you continue, I would assume just from your Facebook and social media, that you're continuing to look for the Chicago hot dog. You can't really have a hot dog stand in Chicago that doesn't have that front and center.
I think so. I mean, it's what defines
us. Do you see a differential? I mean, have you seen any sort of differential in the way that it's presented? I mean, I saw a nice post where you were talking about one shop over another shop and the way that people sort of put the hot dog together.
Well, the biggest difference you'll find is at Superdog on Milwaukee Avenue. They'll put pickled green tomatoes on there. And I don't know anybody else who does that. So instead of the red tomatoes in the winter, they'll put pickled green ones. But otherwise, I haven't seen many variations. Some people do skip the celery salt, too.
Are you a hot dog eater? I mean, is this something that you, before this time, did you take on this assignment because you're like, I know the hot dog?
Well, come on. I grew up in Chicago. We used to eat at Irving's a lot and Byron's. And the Gold Coast Dogs over here used to do a really nice one. But, you know, I'm kind of partial, and I know I shouldn't be eating meat a lot, but to the Maxwell Street Polishes and Maxwell Street pork chop sandwiches.
Right,
and do you know what the traditional toppings for those are?
For Polish would just be onions.
Is there
a condiment?
It's grilled onions, mustard, and sport peppers. So you go down to Jim's Original and you say, hey, I want one with everything on it. 90 seconds later, I have timed this, you will have a nice hot bag with these wonderful caramelized onions, mustard, sport peppers, and then free fries are always in there.
And then the same with the pork chop sandwich.
Same
thing?
But watch out with the pork chop sandwich because it's bone-in. Chicago is well known for its bone-in pork chop sandwiches. You lose a tooth if you're not careful.
It is true. It's funny because I think about, all the Chicago hot dog place that used to be the go-to lunch. I mean, in a way that you would get the deal and it'd be like $3-$4 and be able to get stuff. I just feel like it's bringing me back, and I feel like that's been missing in my life. I might have to bring back the Chicago hot dog.
And it's
to my
delicious.
Diet.
You know, when I talked to Bruce Craig, I said, well, why don't we put ketchup on there? He says, when you think about it, this is a symphony of flavors and textures that is balanced of spicy, salty, sweet, hot, cold, warm. And if you put ketchup on it, it would obliterate that whole balance.
Monica Ang is one half of the podcast Chewing, which you can find at, it's a Tribune?
Is it chewing.xyz.
There you go, chewing.xyz. And she did this story for Curious City at WBEZ. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk to Miranda, who is in studio, about her podcast. The eighth grader here in Chicago has picked up the audio bug. I don't know where from, and I'm not sure I like this. I don't like it, but two projects that you're working on, we'll talk about both of them coming up here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, we talked to Monica Ang about her story about the Chicago hot dog. And let's move on and talk with, and this blows my mind that you did this, Monica, but you got your daughter, Miranda, into the world of audio production. Miranda Zonka is an eighth grader, daughter of Monica, and you have developed two audio projects, one on homeless life on Michigan Avenue and the other about sort of following the politics of, of your fellow eighth graders. Let's talk about this. Miranda, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk about this. I mean, obviously, you know, we'll deal with why your mom got you into audio production at a different point.
Because of you.
Right,
got me into it.
No, so let's talk about the projects. Let's start with the with the homeless podcast or project. I mean, this is really about, how did you stumble upon it? What was your goal of trying to put this project together?
You know, I think it's sort of like the last interview. You know, I lived in Chicago my whole life, and you, especially being downtown a lot, you pass a lot of homeless people, and you hear different things from the people that you're with, like, don't have pity, have pity, they got themselves into this situation, give them money, don't give them money. So I sort of just wanted to find out for myself, like, well, you know, what got them here? And of course, everybody's story was different, but it was just really interesting for me to see that. And then I think it's also important for people who live in this city to, you know, sort of acknowledge this thing that they really just try to ignore.
So how do you approach it? I mean, obviously, you know, the homeless are a part of Michigan Avenue here, and there's a lot of traffic that goes by, and a lot of times the signs are in front. How did you approach the people that were on the street, and what did you suggest when you threw a mic in their face?
I think it was sort of like, you have to be direct. And I was actually really pleasantly surprised at how open these people were and how really, like, they trusted me. They just told me everything. But yeah, it was just sort of like going up to them, asking them, hey, can I interview you? You know, I'll pay you $5 for, you know, 5 minutes of interview. And they were like, yeah, okay.
Well, one of them said, make it eight.
Yeah, one of them was like,
they were negotiating.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, that'll be the first lesson. At some point or another, you probably not want to pay the sources.
Yeah, normal journalism, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, right. But let's listen to some of this. Let's start with the clip with AJ. Why don't we do that? Pete,
about
you got
food.
The AJ about, this is about food on Michigan Avenue. Let's try that.
You know what? Honestly, we get so much food out here. I mean, I get more than anybody could ever eat. I mean, so a lot of times I end up actually throwing away a lot of food. But people get mad. I mean, like, if I'm sitting here and I got, like, eight bags of food around me, and they come up and they try to give me a fourth pizza for today, you know, and I tell them, you know, hey, I got plenty of food. Maybe somebody else don't have anything. They actually get mad. I've had people throw it at me out here. Like New Year's Eve, some guy walked by, had a bunch of food around me, tried to give me his food, and he's like, you're the third fucking bum that I've tried to get food today and wouldn't take it. It's like, whoa, dude, look around me. I mean, if I have plenty, why am I going to continue to take something that I'm just going to throw away? So,
a lot of people did give me food and pizza. I ate so much pizza. I'm still eating a lot of pizza. I'm like, okay. But it has helped me to get through that day. You know, I'll eat it sitting out here. And then I have two family members that we kind of work together, and it helped us to eat that day because money is scarce. You know, it's scarce right now.
So how did you decide, and Miranda, the questions that you wanted to ask? I mean, because this was obviously about food, which is, I mean, it's curious. I mean, it's sort of to better understand the life of somebody on Michigan Avenue.
Well, I think a lot of it was sort of like just my thinking in general about, like, you know, I was curious. And so I thought of a few questions out of like a ton of questions that I just had in my brain that I thought were sort of important to ask. And this one specifically was more just like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, like, you know, you can get very caught up thinking about what you can do for people and like how this is such an overwhelmingly huge cause around you. And you're just like, well, I can't help this person as an individual. But I think one thing that you hear a lot is, well, you can give them your leftovers and that helps them a lot. And so, you know, just thinking about that as somebody who does that a lot, you know, just thinking,
you wanted to ask,
help.
Well,
yeah.
Do they even want the leftovers?
Yeah. And then
how do you
think
find
about
it? You
like,
ask.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there's a delicate balance, and I think you hear that a little bit in the tape, just this concept of people want to help. They're not giving food as sort of like a trash receptacle. They're saying, I want to help. I want to do what I can, right?
Yeah.
And it is great to interview the people on Michigan Avenue to understand what they want and why they wanted. Yeah. I mean, did you get into why they were there? What brought them, the scenarios that brought these people to be on the streets in Michigan Avenue, Chicago?
One of the questions I did ask, yeah, was like, you know, what are some of the factors that led you into homelessness? Two of them, I think, it might have been the most actually, were incarceration and just sort of like bad thing after another. One of them was job loss. Another was somebody's house burnt down. It was a lot of just like bad luck.
The other thing you asked was really about weather. And yeah. That's something that obviously we think about a lot. Let's hear a clip from Philip on the issue of weather.
When it's cold out, how do you stay warm? How do you?
I ride the train.
Yeah.
Ride the train. I have to ride the train because something was one time I went to the shelter and had to sleep on the stairwell with a blanket because they didn't have enough room. You know, they didn't have enough room. So the best thing for me to do is get a little rest on the train and start my day asking if I can get if somebody can help me. It takes a minute. You have to have patience.
Miranda, where can we find these stories? Where do you have them? You have them up on your website, right?
Yes. So they're on a website. It's called Life on Michigan Avenue. You can look it up. It's a Wix site. Made it with Wix. great site to make websites. But, yeah, you can find it online. Also on SoundCloud, actually, if you just wanted to listen to the audio. But it's a pretty cool website. I like it.
All right. So let's move on to your other project because one's just not enough.
Yeah. Couldn't help myself.
Let's talk about the podcast. This is called Trump and the Eighth Grade. Mm-hmm. This is you are in eighth grade.
Yes.
And talk about this. This is a political podcast. You're asking your classmates about who they support, why they support them, and your promise to follow through.
Uh-huh. Well, okay. So like a lot of people, the reason why I did this, like a lot of people, when Trump was elected, I was shocked, I was upset, and I ended up getting into a lot of arguments with people, whether it was online, in person, whatever. And I sort of realized, like, I'm totally not understanding or taking in any part of what this person is telling me. I'm just telling them that they're wrong and that I'm right. And then another thing that sparked it was Obama's farewell speech. He was saying, if you don't like, you know, arguing with people over the internet, go and talk to them in person. And I thought that was really important and really, you know, he was right that we should totally be doing that. So I decided to go do it, to go talk to people, just make them feel safe and have them tell me, you know, what they thought.
And what did you find? I mean, when you're talking to students, eighth grade, especially in Chicago, you probably have a lot of like-minded students, but there's some that you can find that actually represent a Trump voter. Obviously, they're not voters yet, but have those sensibilities.
Well, yeah, it was definitely slim pickings for Trump supporters, but I did find one, and I know that he's actually sort of been in and out of supporting Trump. And I found it really interesting because I know that he has sort of opened his mind. He's actually the most open-minded person I interviewed because I know that people have told him that he's wrong, that they don't like the way he thinks and that, you know, he's wrong. And he's definitely taken into account some of the stuff that people have said to him. He does not agree with Trump on how he treats women. He does not agree with Trump on how he's treating gay people, gay marriage, and transgender people. So I know that he's actually, surprisingly, you know, not the way I would have thought of it, but he is the most open-minded person I interviewed.
And the other two were Democrat supporters and Green Party supporters.
And so, the Green Party I just thought was pretty interesting. Yeah, because Democrats, a lot of Democrats and people who are, you know, within the liberal sort of standpoint against Trump, essentially, in my school. And I thought that Sadie was the interview who was a Democrat. She was important to represent just to show sort of, it was almost like the control, honestly. And I wanted to be able to compare and contrast with these two other points of view. And I think that Liam, who is for the Green Party, was interesting just because a lot of people actually in the election blamed third party voters and people who didn't vote, actually.
It was,
yeah, he really talked about, and he did support Bernie up until the point that he had to drop out. But I think it was interesting to hear, like, you know, I didn't want to throw my beliefs away. I believed in this, and I thought that she was going to bring, you know, peace and unity to America, so.
There we go. Miranda Zonka, the podcast, where can we find it?
SoundCloud.
There you go.
Find it on SoundCloud.
And I'll tweet out both of these on the @Monica Eng Twitter site. I'll tweet out. But.
Miranda Zonka, Monica Eng, in studio tonight, talking about the podcast that you're creating at eighth grade.
Miranda. Through senior year, when they're all old enough to vote.
I can't thank you enough for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.